the truth is that eighth one is really the source of all of them. Like, I mean, of course, we know we inherited from Abraham Avinu. Abraham sort of began the dissemination of monotheism, but the clarity of it and the cementing of it and the foundation of it all takes itself from Sinai.
Yeah. Because even if you believe in God, that there's a creator, because which makes perfect sense. You look at the creation, you see a creator. But if you don't believe that that creator communicated to us how to live our life, then, I mean, it's very nice that there's a creator, but it doesn't actually affect my life, right?
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
And it's another week. Welcome, everyone, to The JP Show. We're in a very special time, getting ready for the Festival of Shavuot. And other than that, I think everything is normally busy. How are you going?
Yeah, things are well. Thank God.
Good stuff.
As you say, Shavuot is coming up, which is an important day, as we'll talk about.
Which, before we do that, can I just remind everyone that we're not going to have a JP show next week, so we'll take a break. As Shavuot is Monday and Tuesday. And we always record on Monday, so we'll just take a short break. But we will be back.
Absolutely.
So, what have you got on?
So, as I said, Shavuot is coming up. Shavuot is the day when the Torah was given, which I want to actually, we'll talk about that in a moment. What does that sentence actually mean, the Torah was given? Like, was there a Torah scroll handed to the Jewish people? What does that actually mean? We'll talk about that.
But just for a detail, by the way, it was 3,337 years ago.
Well,
to be exact,
it's quite a long time ago.
Whatever happened, that's when it happened.
That's right. So let's talk about a number of things. We'll sort of take this from different angles. So those that know you know that you're very into the Jewish calendar in general. It's one of your
love the Jewish calendar.
It's one of your passions. Shavuot seems to be not that much on people's radar as much as other ones like Pesach and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why do you think that is?
I know, that's such a pity. But there's some, I think there's a practical reason for it.
Mm.
And that is that there's no ritual on Shavuot. So Pesach, everyone knows, right. There's a seder.
Mm.
Rosh Hashanah, there's shofar, there's meals. Big Rosh, you know, the honey, the apple honey, the pomegranates. It's a new year, one, you know, Yom Kippur, there's fasting, it's a special shul day, something about Yom Kippur arouses people, whatever the case is. Sukkot is
a little bit less,
but nevertheless, it's, you know, Simchat Torah, there's Sukkot, there's sitting in the Sukkot, there's benching lulav. Shavuot isn't, it's one day in Israel, 2 days here, and it's nothing, it doesn't signify anything particular. However, it is the most important of all of them, perhaps, one could argue. I suppose we always argue that every festival, but
it's true.
In truth, it is an absolutely amazingly foundational yontif. It's when we became a nation. Really, so not, I mean, it started with Pesach as we were born as a nation when we left Egypt, but it is really the foundation of everything. It's really a foundational concept. It is, in fact, I would say it this way. Everything in Judaism that we do and believe in, everything is rooted in the Sinai experience, which happened 3,337 years ago on Mount Sinai on Shavuot.
So let's delve into that a little bit, actually. So when you say the Sinai experience, just explain what exactly happened there. I mean, I know you weren't physically, although we believe we were spiritually there, we do, but you obviously weren't physically there, but it's described in the Torah, it's described at greater length in the Talmud, in the Gemara. What are we actually talking about? What actually happened?
You know, that's such an important question because I think it's very misunderstood, actually. So we always use the thing, God gave us the Torah, which is true. But just we need to understand what that means, that phrase. First of all, not just about the knowledge of Torah. It is in part, meaning knowledge of Torah was actually there before. We have a tradition that Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Noah, even the Jews before the giving of the Torah actually had insight into the Torah wisdom. There were even yeshivot, there were places of learning. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they learned in academies of learning to learn the Torah, which was run by Noah's son, Shem, and his grandson, Aver, and so on. So there was some insight, but it is true to say that God gave us he gave it away to us, kind of thing. It became ours, became our treasure, right? Even the Jewish wisdom. So of course Shavuot has a lot to do with Torah knowledge and the importance of studying Torah, which is a very big foundation, a cornerstone of Jewish continuity and Jewish existence and Jewish identity. We've talked about this before. It's the one constant that has always been there throughout all our ages and so on. But it's much more than that. In many sources, Shavuot or the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai is referred to as a wedding. It's a wedding between God and the Jewish people, right? It's when God really said, now you're my nation, right? That's one aspect. In fact, there's an imagery in the Gemara of God holding the Mount Sinai on top of the Jewish people. Many ways to explain that, but one of the ideas is almost like a chuppah. In other words, it's the relationship. The relationship between God and the Jewish people, we relate to each other. What that expresses itself in another concept of Shavuot is that even though there was knowledge of Torah before the Torah was given, but it's the concept of that relationship which expresses itself in the heaven and earth coming together, which what that means is we are taught Kabbalistically that before the Torah was given, we weren't able really to bring the spiritual into the physical. So like the phrase goes, heaven was heaven, earth was earth, right? The relationship between us and God that began in the Torah also gave us the ability to bring God into the world, to actually make ourselves more godly, and to bring God into the world, to sanctify something, to actually elevate a piece of parchment when you turn into a mezuzah, to elevate food when you make a bracha, when you do a mitzvah with it, when you eat matzah on Pesach, to actually bring holiness and godliness into every aspect of the physical world, which is a great thing because God is infinite and completely is transcendent. This world is very finite and very limited and very mundane and very physical. And the connection between those two things is a phenomenal idea, right? Yep. So that's the concept of Matan Torah. But you asked before what actually happened. What actually happened is a separate story. So what actually happened was there was this amazing dramatic event. The mountain, Mount Sinai was smoking. There was thunder. There was lightning. There was the call of the shofar. And then there was a godly revelation, whatever that means. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't physically there. But there was clarity. There was a moment of absolute godly clarity to every single person in the world, particularly the Jewish people who were standing there with all the future souls, and God communicated to us the Ten Commandments. Why the Ten Commandments? Ten Commandments are sort of encapsulate kind of the principles of the entire Torah, and we know of just a nice little fun fact, there are 620 letters in the Ten Commandments. We know in the Torah there are 613 mitzvot and 7 rabbinic mitzvot, and that makes up the 620. So that was the concept. The concept was, God said, I'm revealing myself, we're going to this wedding, but there's a contract in the wedding, there's a contract. It's a contractual, you know, there's like a contract, like a ksuba, but every single wedding, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. This was a bit of a contract, a marriage contract. So there's a contract there too. There's a Torah, there's a moral compass, there's a set of values, there's mitzvot to keep, and so on. And that's sort of the contract that creates the marriage between us and God.
I think maybe perhaps another way of saying this, maybe, and it sort of ties back to what you're saying before, Shavuot really sort of hammers home that Judaism is not just, in fact, it's not really at all, just a cultural experience, like a nice experience that we, you know, keep things, it enhances our life, and, you know, focus on family and all that type of stuff, which are all good things, but it's all goes back to believing that, number one, there is a God, and number two, that God actually spoke to us. Like, I mean, we just to clarify, like, you believe that there actually was an event where the Jewish people were standing at a physical mountain, and they heard whatever that voice sounded like, whatever that meant, but there was a voice from God communicating directly to them, not to Moses, but to them, telling them, introducing himself, essentially, saying, I am Hashem, your God, I took you out of Egypt, and it all is based on that. Without that, there is no Judaism.
Because you have to understand what that means. It's the one thing, the one thing uniquely about Yiddishkeit and Judaism is that we believe there was a revelation to everyone. 3 million people. If you want to be kind of count numbers, we have a sort of tradition, there's about 3 million people there.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, spiritually, all the other future souls and so on. But 3 million people saw this, and it was an absolute moment of clarity. And it was, you know, the Rambam, Maimonides talks about the 13 principles of faith, right? Which we, you know, people sing every Friday night in shul. That's the Yigdal song, you know, Yigdal Elokim Chai, and so on. Yeah. That's the 13 principles of faith. The eighth one is about the belief in the Sinai revelation, that Torah is from heaven, it's divine, and there was a revelation at Sinai, and it's absolutely true and eternal, and so on. The truth is that eighth one is really the source of all of them. Like, I mean, of course, we know we inherited from Abraham Avinu. Abraham sort of began the dissemination of monotheism, but the clarity of it and the cementing of it and the foundation of it all takes itself from Sinai.
Yeah. Because even if you believe in God, that there's a creator, because which makes perfect sense. You look at the creation, you see a creator. But if you don't believe that creator communicated to us how to live our life, then, I mean, it's very nice that there's a creator, but it doesn't actually affect my life, right?
Right.
We believe that he actually told us how to live our life.
And it's not and just yet, he told us like a manager gives instructions. He actually entered into the relationship with us.
Correct, correct. Obviously, yeah, it's much deeper than just do this and don't do that. And without that, there's no Judaism. It's just not Judaism. Meaning you can...
Yeah, it's a cultural stuff, but I mean, you can do a lot of culture with that, but it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why it's eternal, by the way. Because it's divine, so it's eternal.
Right.
And we know that the Zohar talks about this, that it was like the blueprint of the world, and everything in the world has a source in Torah. It was everything. That's why, like in Jewish law, for example, we're always responding to new technology or new advances, but we start from the source. We go back to the Torah and we say, okay, how do Torah respond to this? And because it's eternal and it has an answer for everything that will happen ever.
It's eternal and it's absolute. Meaning is there's no, like, because it's not human, you know, I can have my opinions, but it's irrelevant. The point is what God says.
Yeah, I mean, there is room for the different opinions, but it's only within the system.
Yeah.
Part of the structure is that sometimes interpretation can be different, but only within a certain context and based on certain axioms.
Mm. Right. So when you say the Torah was given, right, let's just sort of branch off a little bit. When we say the word Torah, so I think different things come to different people's mind. Like usually we refer to, so we take out from the Ark, from the Aron Kodesh on Shabbos, we take out a Torah and we read it. Is that what we mean when we say Torah? Is there more to it? Is that what was given? Like what was the actual? I mean, this is a very broad discussion, obviously, but.
What was that, sorry?
That's obviously a very broad discussion, but just sort of.
I think that's a very good. It's a very good question. First of all, no, God didn't come down the mountain with the Sefer Torah that we take on Shul.
That's right.
That was
even the two tablets weren't given on Luchot. Were not given on Shabbat.
Actually, yeah, the communication of it was.
Yeah.
So first of all, we need to realize that. First of all, we need to understand Moses' role here, Moshe Rabbeinu. We said he was the one to give us the Torah. He was the one that God sent. In other words, he introduced us. He's like, you know, you have at the. In Kabbalah it says, just like by chuppah, you have like people who walk down the groom and the people who walk down the bride, right? And that's like to the chuppah, and normally the parents. But I mean, you always have to have someone walking down. So Moshe and his brother Aaron was like the. So it says Moses was like God's unteferi. He walked God down to the chuppah, and Aaron walked us up to the chuppah, so to speak, right?
Right.
Okay, whatever it is, but and then God, and then he was the one to communicate the rest of it. So God gave us the Torah and he communicates directly to us on Shavuot, but he wasn't giving us all the knowledge of the Torah. He wasn't giving us the Chumash or the Torah scroll. He was communicating the Ten Commandments. What he was really doing was he was giving us the connection to the Torah. He says, this Torah is now yours. You're now bound by it. It's your merit. You have a part in it. It's up to you now to ensure its continuity, to interpret it, to understand all the laws. Now, with that came certain foundations. We have a strong belief. Part of the belief in Mount Sinai is that it was both about the written Torah and the oral Torah, because we have two parts of the Torah. That's very, very important. And they're part of the halachic structure, the rabbinic structure that we know that we, how we interpret the Torah and how we respond to different situations. That's also part of the Sinai revelation. But then the knowledge came afterwards. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain for three sets of 40 days. Part of that time, what he was doing is he was studying the Torah, and God was giving him the principles, God's giving the details, he was giving him the various mitzvot, he was explaining to him various principles of how Torah should be interpreted in future generations, and he was giving over to us the structure. But that was later, that the giving of the Torah means I give you what's precious to me. It says God, the Torah was like God's precious treasure, And part of the wedding that we have with him is he gives it to us. He gave us the Torah. And he says, this is like, you know, like a groom gives a bride a ring under the chuppah. God gave us the Torah. That's his ring. Mm. And he said, this is what makes the marriage. And now it's yours and you own it and you have a stake in it and so on.
So practically, I mean, you said there's no official ritual when it comes to Shavuot, although there is, of course, we've always developed, Jews always managed to develop customs, particularly in relation to food. So there's the obsession with eating dairy on Shavuot. I think it's quite an important custom.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you have to have 15 different types of cheesecakes. I don't know if that's the criteria, but nevertheless, it's an important custom. So why don't you talk about that a little bit? What's that all about?
So yeah, so you talk about rituals. I think first of all, there's milk. I mean, there's so many reasons why we eat milk. One of them is because in King Solomon compares the Torah to the sweetness of milk and honey. Mm. Therefore, we're so excited. We want to show our passion for Jewish wisdom. And therefore, we realize how deep it is and how sweet it is and how beautiful it is. Just we have to get immersed in it. That's all. But it's really beautiful. That's one of the reasons. Also, we talked about the sets of 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain afterwards to learn the Torah. So the word for milk in Hebrew is chalav. Chalav has a numerical value, the gematria of 40, which is, again, the 40 days. So those, yeah, I mean, there's many, many reasons. Another ritual that's really important on Shavuot is actually trying to be in shul to listen to the Ten Commandments. Mm. Because the Midrash tells us that when Jews gather on Shavuot and they listen to the Ten Commandments, God almost like considers it as if we're again standing at, maybe the modern way to say it is renewing our vows, so to speak, right? Which is not that's a very Jewish concept in marriage, but it's the idea of we reenact and we re-experience the whole giving of the Matan Torah. That happens when we listen to the Ten Commandments. It's a very powerful, short, brief moment. So if you can
make... And many shuls, I must say, if anyone's looking for like an early morning one, many shuls have a very early morning one because many people stay up. That's actually another ritual. People stay up a whole night on the first night of Shavuot.
Yeah, just before we get there, something practical. So yeah, there's early services, there's regular services. You don't have to go for the whole thing. You just go for the Torah reading if you can make it. If you can't, but you can make it later on the day, please contact us because we're actually running a... primarily for young adults, but we can sneak you in even if you're not so young. At my home, we're doing a Shavuot program on Monday afternoon, 2nd of June, the first day Shavuot. And we're going to read the Ten Commandments from a Torah scroll there as well. Yeah, staying up at night is a funny one. Staying up at night is comes from the, well, a few reasons actually. From the Zohar, it talks about it's a very holy night and we should stay up. But also the simple reason is because apparently God came to Mount Sinai very early in the morning and the Jews slept in slightly. That we woken up.
Jewish time, as they call it.
Yeah, so to fix that, we kind of show we're staying up and we're enthusiastic to be connected to the Torah and its wisdom.
Mm. That's right. Okay, sounds exciting. So we're gearing up. So there's a few more days left. And celebrate Shavuot. Get involved. Come to a program, a learning program. Hear the Ten Commandments. Eat some dairy. Some kosher dairy on Monday and enjoy the
remember, the Jewish calendar is what keeps us ticking. So
that's right.
Engage. It's a really important festival.
I guess what, just before we go, I mean, I was just thinking, like you said, it's like renewing our vows, right? Why do we have to do it every year? How come we can't have festivals every five? Like, why do you think it's important that we do this year after year, again and again? Like, let's have a 5-year cycle. Like, it's,
you know, I don't think it's about doing it again. I think that's the way we talked about the Jewish calendar before. Jewish calendar is a cycle itself. It's just everything that happened once happens again every year. Mm. It's not marking it. It's not, you know, it's actually re-experiencing it. And that's why God designed the calendar.
Right.
We experience going out of Egypt on Pesach. We experience Purim. We experience sitting on all these things. So they just come around each year. So we get a booster every year.
Right. And this year it's a serious long weekend.
That's right.
It's a Monday and Tuesday.
That's correct.
All right, everyone. Chag Sameach.
And again, we're not on next week, but hopefully we'll see you.
We'll receive the Torah with joy and internalize it. And
yeah, for sure.
Meet again.
All the best. See you in 2 weeks.